yeah.
Got me listening to some Summertime. Well, he wrote it. He didn't perform any of the versions that I have, though.
Well, I like the Sublime version.
That's not there either.
I don't know if your whole show, radio show, was about the song, was about that piece of music. I don't understand.
29 versions of the song Summertime.
But you didn't include Sublime.
Well, not only not, absolutely not.
I don't understand. What's the problem with that version?
Well, other than the fact it's Sublime?
What, you don't like Sublime?
That's correct.
Okay, why don't you like Sublime?
Well, who knows, you know, I mean, well, one, Orange County.
Okay, so the very first reason for not liking Sublime is Orange County. But they're from Long Beach. They're not from Manhattan Beach. Have you been to Long Beach?
Oh yeah, we played in Long Beach.
Okay, so what's wrong with Long Beach? I understand what you have against Orange County, but what the fuck does that have to do with Sublime? They're from Long Beach. They're the exact opposite of the
Okay, so you're informing me that they're from Long Beach and not Orange County. So that raises them an iota in my estimation.
Fuck, where did you think they were from? Palisades? They're from Long Beach.
I thought they were from Orange.
It says it
in
the goddamn song. Hell, they say it a bunch of times in all the songs you hate. I don't know, hold on for a second here.
Okay.
Have you not listened to Sublime, or are we?
Oh, I listened to listened to Sublime so in that particular song too. So many times. That might be it right there. I just listened to it too many times.
I don't trust your opinion. You better be. Hey, look, I'm giving you a chance to explain yourself because you're impugning your whole credibility for all music. How can you? I don't understand how you can't like Sublime. I mean, besides the fact that Orange County. I mean, is there another reason you don't like the? I mean, I don't get it. You don't like ska music. You don't like ska.
Okay, so they are so not ska.
I know they're a fusion of punk and rap and hip hop and ska and, I mean, the thrash punk they do. You don't like the punk? They're punk.
I couldn't have said it better myself. That's it right there.
You don't like them because they're a fusion of a bunch of different sounds.
Pretty much, without being true to any particular. I don't know. They just seem so calculated to me.
No, they're being true to themselves. Look, you don't understand. Look, this kid, the lead singer Noel, they used to go on family trips to Jamaica, like once a year. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Take a little trip to Jamaica with the family.
Okay, so we're getting too far down that road. I don't hate them. I'm just not terribly impressed.
There wasn't some radio-friendly unit shifter deciding that, hey, you guys got to put some reggae into the tracks. He grew up playing reggae.
Oh, I understand that. I understand that. And honestly, their earliest stuff is the best.
I don't think I can do this show with you anymore. I can't believe this. This is bigger than a political difference.
It might be, huh?
What about the Riot song, April 26, 1992? You don't like that song?
It doesn't speak to me. I'm sorry. It just doesn't.
You have to be out of your fucking mind. I don't even know what... So you did a Summertime thing.
Yeah, and there would definitely not be any Sublime in it. And besides, it's a bastardized version of the song anyway.
Well, that's because it's a sample used as an underlay. I mean,
it's not really,
think about it like a rhythm guitar.
It's not really the song.
No, it isn't.
Every song in the list is really the song.
Okay, well, I'm done. All right. Did you do the Angelina Jordan version?
I did. I hadn't heard it before. She's 10 years old when she sings that.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite versions, I think.
Amazing. The other one is this.
Everything she did at that age.
I know. She does the, I Put a Spell on You at 11. Yeah, amazing.
Do you get the feeling it's like the law of diminishing returns with her? Or do you think she figures out a way to become...
I wouldn't go there. Woman. I wouldn't go there yet. She just seems better and better to me. I mean, not everything is, you know, completely stellar, but those things that are, and they don't relate to her getting older because she's got stuff at every level that's just great. This other revelation that I just discovered today, actually, was this Andrea Motis from Spain. She plays trumpet. She sings crazy good.
Remember when John Travolta butchered her name when he introduced her? Is it that one? Different one.
I'm unaware of that having happened. I hope not. I never heard of her before. But
well, that's great. So you're educating people with the show. That's wonderful. That's a mitzvah for you, you know?
Totally. I think. Yeah.
Just don't tell people you don't like Sublime.
Well, I think it's out right now, you know, isn't it? Huh?
It's not going to go over well. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't hate them. Let's put it that way. And I like some of the early stuff. By the time
they
get
their
crossover album, they totally lost me though.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about, but we definitely probably risk losing like half of our audience probably. Which means how are we going to replace those two people?
Well, bye.
They can't hear you. They're gone. they already tuned out.
Tuned out. He doesn't like Sublime.
They might email in.
This isn't a music show anyway, so, you know, they tune in for our astute commentary on the world.
I don't think that's why they're tuning in.
No.
Nope.
Oh dear. Well, maybe not.
I've done a ton of research on this, and I think the answer is they're not.
So how can they tune out, huh?
That's what they're doing. Yeah, we can't be rejected. We're in a great spot.
So that's the upside of that, then.
Look, you subtract everything from a man. You know what I mean? You take away everything he's got.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you're
like,
left with
like Job in the Bible?
I'm just thinking the prodigal son, hopefully. But, you know, but that's fine. I guess Job works. But which is the one they beat the shit out of?
Well, that would be Job.
That's Job, right? No.
Yeah, his wife and kids die, his flocks... They're stolen, his house burns down, all of his clothes, naked and alone in the world, without sustenance.
Yeah, and all of that was to win an argument with the devil.
Exactly.
It's really in the story, too. That's really there. And then at the end he goes, see, motherfucker, see?
See?
He still praises me. What's up?
Right.
You know what I mean? And the devil's like, you son of a bitch, you threw me wrong.
Yeah, and so I get him a new wife and new kids and new coat.
That's not in the story.
Yeah, it is in the story.
Birds gouged his fucking eyeballs out. He didn't get new eyeballs. Not in there.
Right.
Oh, well, yeah, they put glass in his eyes.
But he got new goats.
He had goats.
Yeah, they were gone though. They were taken.
And he had working eyeballs also. Everything
I remember he had boils.
He got boils on his skin. Birds.
He had boils. Yeah, and the birds.
Yeah.
Are you sure that's not
glass,
a Greek myth?
No, and then glass ended up in there too. His whole crop was destroyed. All the people that worked for him were slaughtered. His family was slaughtered.
Yeah.
They took every fucking thing from him, and he's like, praise the Lord.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And that's the story. That's the whole story. You're saying he got a new coat out of it. Here you go. You know what I mean? It's a nice coat.
It's a really nice coat.
Who gives him this coat? Like somebody in the neighborhood? There you go. Here's a coat.
God himself. God. It's a God coat.
I got to imagine he's got to be able to resell that coat then for a lot of money. So that's not in the story, but.
Restoration is in the story.
You can't. I'll look it up right now. He didn't get.
You can't bring back. You can't bring back the dead, though. And if you loved your children and your wife, gee, you know.
What about the pain of his eyeball too, and the glass? Glass.
That seems. Yeah, that seems. I didn't remember that part.
I'm not sure that's in there. I'm pretty sure though. Definitely, you remember the skin boils, though. That was there.
Definitely the boils.
Okay, so I'm out on the Job deal. So who's the other one? Prodigal son, right?
Prodigal son, yeah. Now
that's the deal.
The father likes, I mean, will kill the fatted calf for the prodigal son. Because he's so overjoyed
then,
that he comes
older,
back.
And then the older sibling pipes up like, hey, what the fuck? Where's my...
Yeah, right.
You know, well, hey, what the fuck? Hey, this motherfucker goes out and has the time of his life and comes back and now he's a hero? I stayed
yeah.
here the whole time like a... I was here the whole time like a schmuck.
I was minding the store.
I left this motherfucker running while this guy's out having a good time. And now he gets the fatted calf. Like
I know.
Like the King of Siam, he comes back here because he
honestly,
ran out of options. What's
when I first heard that here? Story, that's exactly what I thought. Gee, you know, how much for faithfulness?
Him, and the dad says to him, like, look, you little son of a bitch. You know what I mean? It's all yours, the dad says to him. You know, let's let him have the fatted calf. The fucking dirt belongs to you, he says. You know what I mean? So at the end, it's the same. Yeah, of course, and I think. And then at the end, it's, you know, that's the whole thing. It's like, oh, everything goes to the oldest kid as usual. You know, who's entitled to it. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Well, not
every time with the Bible.
Not every case. Sometimes the patriarch is deceived by the wife and the second son.
Okay, that's weird.
Right? As in the story of Jacob and Esau.
Well, a name like Esau, you know, that's going south. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
I
well,
it's, that before even reading it.
It's my favorite scripture, too.
That's your favorite scripture? Why is that one?
Yeah, my favorite scripture is, Esau was an hairy man, and Jacob was a smooth man.
That's your favorite. That's
your hey, favorite. You got to admit, it's got a ring.
Okay, it is poetic, but I mean, do you have a non-ironical phrase that you like from the Bible, or is that truly your favorite?
It is truly my favorite, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, smooth man, hairy man.
Is that some kind of, were they trying to give you a hint of some genealogy there, or were they saying?
Well, Esau was the older boy, the older son, but he did not want to stay and run the estate. And
he wanted to bone out, right?
He wanted to go for hunting. And so they got to do two things. Jacob and his mother, Sarah, they go to Esau and say, look, I know you don't want to be here. I want to be here. You want to be off hunting. So I'll tell you what, why don't you sell me your inheritance and I'll give you this bowl of soup. How about that? And he goes, fine. Give me the bowl of soup.
For a bowl of soup?
Yeah, well, mess of pottage is the way they put it in the Bible. But
okay, so that sounds like a fair amount of soup then. Maybe more than a bowl, like a small pot worth, probably.
Maybe a pot of soup. Yeah. But so Esau's down. Okay, give me the soup. He's off. Now, Abraham is almost blind.
Okay, can I pause you for just 1 second? I'll let you keep going.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. It sounds like Jacob's taking advantage of his brother's dreams and desires a little bit.
Wouldn't you say?
He seems to know that deal's ripe for the making, and it sounds like the older brother just wanted to leave anyway, and probably would have anyway. So, even without the soup exchange. So,
right.
Nonetheless, continue. So the dad's blind, you're saying. Okay.
Right. So technically, it goes to the oldest son, no matter who wants it or doesn't want it. It's the inheritance goes to the oldest son.
Yeah, but he's leaving. He's leaving. He's going hunting. He's not coming back.
That's the way it is. Still. So they've got to go to Abraham and convince Abraham that Jacob is actually Esau.
Who the fuck is, that's the dad?
Yeah.
Oh, so they're going to do a switcheroo on the dad because he's blind.
Yeah, with the connivance of the mother.
Does he still get the soup? They're still making, the soup is still part
of
the
Oh, he got the soup. Esau got the soup.
All right, okay, all right. So the mom knows about this too?
So not only do they try to fool, yeah, oh, she's in on it. In fact, she's the one that gives Jacob this hairy suit to wear so that when they go to Abraham, here, feel your son, here he's all hairy, that's Esau, you know, and so he feels him, and yep, that's,
okay,
that's
so
hairy.
Jacob wears,
he wears a hair suit. Yeah.
Okay, I gotcha. All right, I'm with you.
And so Abraham gives him the blessing, right? Well, it works. Gives him the patriarchal blessing, and Jacob becomes the leader of the tribe of Israel, or tribe of, you know, their tribe.
And he has to posing as his brother his entire life?
Well, once Abraham dies, and he was dying, that's why he was passing this blessing on. Then it's all good.
Then he takes the... So then he removes the fursuit and goes, look, it's really, you know what I mean? I'm really, it's really Jacob.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
That's your favorite story.
It's not my favorite story. It just incorporates my favorite verse.
It's a pretty good verse, and it's a pretty good story. And it's, as far as the Bible
deception,
goes, pretty well
yeah.
put together. I think it has everything. It doesn't have a good finish, you know? It kind of just works as it works, kind of deal.
It's supposed to be a happy ending.
Did they give any mention about the hunting? How'd that go?
Well, Esau's happy. He's happy. He's off hunting. We don't know how well. Yeah, he's probably hunting.
Okay.
He's supposedly a good hunter, so he's probably doing. He's happy. Jacob is happy. He got the patriarchy. And Abraham is happy because he thinks he passed it on to the right son. So it's a lesson for, I guess, deceit.
Okay, win-win-win, I guess. Bible's weird, huh?
Right?
Like, it's real weird. Like, oh, no, that's just the Old Testament. No, it's weird everywhere.
It is weird everywhere. Yeah, Book of Revelations, gee.
That's a pretty good one. I mean, we're in the end times, right? So...
Supposedly, of course, we've been in the end times, I don't know, 400 years, so it's got some long end times here.
I mean, I feel like I'm in my end times. I'm not, you feel, but, you know. Not melodramatically, though. I mean, for real, so.
Yeah, but you got a bit of, you got some time. These things turn around, you know?
Yeah, but you get. I'm not talking about. Forget all that. Forget all that. I'm talking about just a feeling you get.
Yeah. What is it? The pandemic and all of that.
I don't know. It's just things are crisper. I feel like my observation is crisper right now, and I feel like there's a reason for that. You know what I mean?
Because it's end times.
I feel like my brain knows somehow and is like, okay, try to get as much information as you can. I feel like mundane things are crisper in this moment. I feel like my awareness is heightened. Does that make sense?
That sounds kind of good.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess, but I mean, the reasoning behind it's not good.
Not good. I get that.
Right.
So you're saying enjoy
the plants. Enjoy the plants. You know.
Something like that.
Soak it in. I gotcha.
Yeah.
The yellows. Enjoy the yellows and the greens.
Well, you know, there's a song, Look for the Silver Lining, because it's there.
Always look on the bright side of life.
That's a... Okay. Yes, but that's a bit strong. Yeah.
Time is on my side.
You know, sometimes that bright side, that silver lining is seems like small potatoes. This is it. This is my part of reward for this horrible thing I've been going through.
That sounds an awfully lot like heaven, doesn't it? Seems weird. Yeah. Seems like.
Well, I'm not talking about pie in the sky.
Well, like they said in the song, the pie in the sky keeps on turning. So.
I thought that was the eye in the sky, but no, who's counting?
No, that's what's always watching you. It's the wheel in the sky that's turning. Right.
Oh, right.
Let's talk politics then, I guess.
Okay, so let's do that.
Let's do that.
Putin ordered 2020 election meddling to aid Trump, U.S. intelligence says.
Well, let me be the first thing to congratulate Putin on a job botched up. He only lost by 5 million votes.
It worked for him in 2016 is the deal. So he should be happy with that.
He's one for one then.
Yeah, he got 4 years out of the deal. And he did weaken America for those 4 years. So, you know, our position in the world. So, all right, hey, you know, take what you get.
But isn't, like, Putin, like, already, like, the world's richest man?
Yeah, I read that today.
It's all off books, but it's all... Like,
$200 billion or something like that? Yeah. Yeah, who knows?
Right. That's a chunko. I understand power is an aphrodisiac on some level, so...
Right.
Get all that. But if you had that kind of bread, wouldn't you want to just, like, kind of, like, chill out a little bit, or no?
Did you read the article? I didn't read the article, and I wondered, okay, by what mechanism does this money come to him? You know?
Gee, let me figure that out. He runs the whole country.
Well, I understand that, and I understand that that is a factor somehow, but what, that, you know, the tax guy writes the check to Putin? How does that work?
Well, first of all, it moves all the way up the chain. It's every transaction that takes place on the government level has some kind of spiff on there. Okay. The money itself, that money itself is then funneled into different subsidiaries and different things.
Sure.
And in the end, it ends up into accounts that are controlled by him. It's not that
so it could be, half a trillion then, for all we know.
It's a lot of it's off books. That's the other thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, who knows? If there's 200 they can account for, there's got to be at least 400 that they can't.
I mean, right. Right.
That's my point. When you have $1 trillion, like what's the, like, I think the deal is you can't step down from that position. You have to die or be killed. That's it. Can you retire if you're a mob boss? Do you have the option of retiring or do you have to be murdered or step down? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. You got me. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
If he
I think they do sometimes retire.
But the whole thing is complete. He can't just step down. He's got relationships, upon favors, upon promises, extending far into the future. It's not like
right.
He can just step down.
And if he steps down,
that's
actually reneging on some of this stuff if he steps down.
You're absolutely right. It is actually doing it. I mean, if there's a deal that's supposed to happen next November, between
yeah.
the crime family and da-da-da-da-da, and now he's not there, what happened to the deal?
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Deposits have been paid, monies have been exchanged, shit's in work. I mean, I don't know how it works. I don't think you can, I just answered my own question. I don't think you can leave.
Yeah, right? Well, I sure don't know, but I wouldn't know how either, so, yeah.
I'm glad I don't know, but I would like some kind of, like a hotel. That sounds like a good job, right? Like a hotel job?
To have a hotel?
No, to have a job at a hotel.
Like, which job? Maitre d'?
Who gives a shit? Just some job at the hotel. I mean, the hotel's not going anywhere. You know what I mean?
Right. Well.
It's a job. I mean, theoretically, as long as you don't, you know, show up to work all messed up.
Some of those hotels in Europe during the pandemic didn't do that well.
True. I didn't think about that. I think we're done with pandemics for a while, though, right?
You know, I mean, so I was in the Navy with guys thought, oh, I'm going to be a barber in the Navy, and as soon as when I get out, it'll all be good, you know. Everybody
sure,
needs
yeah,
a haircut.
Yeah.
And then the hippie days happened. Not only did hippie days happen, but men started going to salons, you know. And so here was these guys that were thought they were going to be set for life being a barber, and it didn't happen.
Hmm. See, I would have made that mistake too. You know?
I don't think there's anything that's, you know, 100%. Nothing's 100%.
What about like a guy that works at a mortuary?
People got to die, but do they have to be buried?
No, but even if you cremate them, someone has to sell them that service, like a mortuary guy. That sells,
yeah.
Like, hey, you want like a nice box? Here's the catalogs. Oh, you want, do you like oak? Was oak important to him in any way? Something
yeah,
like that.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
And then, or if they're like, no, I'm not paying $8,000 for a fucking casket, then you go, oh,
well,
okay. Well, exactly.
So that's what I'm saying.
We could also cremate him for you. And would you like to see our urn catalog?
Right.
You know?
Cremation's not cheap either.
You really got to try to sell. If you want to make money, you got to try to sell the urn with that. Like, if you're not going to push the urn,
yeah.
You know what I mean? If it's just the service, you're going to get a percentage of that. And it's not, you can't live on cremations, they say, in the business, you know? So
yeah,
you gotta sell some urns, you gotta sell some wood. You're pushing wood is what you're doing. You're selling lumber. You know what I mean?
Well, once again, it's like, you know, those barbers, it sounds good now.
James, people are always gonna have to die and be cremated. Who the fuck, what do you think, the city's gonna handle that? You gotta use mortuary services, don't you?
Yeah. Oh no, that's what I'm saying. It sounds good. It sounds good now.
I mean, it sounds like business is going to be better over the next 20 years. There's a ton of boomers. So, I mean,
there's more people, so there's going to be more death.
I'm not saying in a morbid way. I'm saying people need quality mortuary services. I mean, I'm not looking to go in there and I'm not going to push fine mahogany on people that are obviously looking for like a lower end urn. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not going to be an asshole about it. I'm saying, you know, I'm going to try to give people the product that they need. I mean, what's the problem? I'm going to be compassionate while I do it. What's the problem?
So this conversation kind of brings up a story about my wife who died. And it's a, you know, so it's a bit morbid, but it also is kind of a funny portrait of her as well. She was more thrifty than I. I'm pretty frugal, but she was even more frugal than I am. And so, she had breast cancer and she knew she was dying. So she totally handled her death preparations herself. She found a coupon for cremation. So, and she found a place that would do the cremation for $550. She used the coupon. That brought it down to $511. And that was everything. She got the whole thing done for $511. I haven't heard of anybody else doing it for under $2,000. So that was Charlene. So Charlene.
That's a horrific story.
It is a horrific story, yet
I can't believe it.
I smile when I think about it, though. Yeah,
you know,
right.
I have to hand it to her in the sense that, you know, you're faced with this thing.
Yeah.
Unexpected, undeserved, and then here you are, and there's no respite. It's coming. And to take
the
reins.
She's pretty matter-of-fact about it, too. I mean.
Well, just to take the reins about it is pretty empowering to go, okay, you know what, fuck that. Let's figure out my funeral services.
That's so her, yeah.
I can save some money on this.
That was so her.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm the kind of asshole that probably would, like, spend more on my funeral than is necessary. You know what I mean?
I know, and that would definitely not be her. Her cat, when her cat died, she loved that cat, but the cat died, she threw it in the paper bag and threw it in the dumpster. That was just her.
Okay.
So,
Okay. Not as horrific. Still bad. Not as horrific.
Right? I know. I know.
So, yeah. So, you're talking about a career that can't be beat, you know, aside from, like, being a doctor, which is out of the question. I think, some type of mortuary deal, mortuary sales. You know, they got a guy that sells the plot, too. So it's like a real estate thing, kind of.
It kind of is.
You have to have a specialized real estate license for it, which they help you get, I think.
And what's really distasteful about that is here's people that are grieving. They've lost a loved one. And that's it. It's bad. It hurts, you know. And they want to represent for that person. And here comes somebody along and says, what, you're going to spend $5,000 on this casket when you could spend $10,000 over here? What, don't you love them kind of deal? That's preying on them.
You're saying that'd be a good pitch, you're saying?
Let me get a pen.
What was the phrasing you used? Okay.
Well, the phrasing isn't necessarily important. In fact,
it's a distasteful job, and it's also the setting is not ideal because it's mostly just a lot of people grieving the worst thing that ever happened.
Adding value, upgrading, all of that kind of stuff. Better casket.
Well, the price of brass is down, so this is a great time to upgrade the brass. This will be the cheapest time you could ever buy brass accoutrements, believe me.
Well, there you go. Maybe you could go into the mortuary sales. Sure. Sounds like you've got the patter down.
I don't know. I think I kind of talked myself out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so.
Well, there's not a lot of windows in mortuaries, you know. To keep it pretty dark in there.
Right.
Somber. You know, like real somber, you know.
Did you know there was a mortuary downtown San Diego called Good Bodies?
That was the guy's last name?
It's his last name, yeah.
I would have changed it to something else.
You know? I know,
Yeah.
It's funny how there was a cook on the ship that I was on in the Navy, too, named Tomaine. That inspired confidence.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's that whole story? I thought Tomaine was now going to do something for us. No, nothing. That is a weird name for a guy, though, that cooks food.
Right? How do these people get these names that it seemed like that person wouldn't go into that job, you know?
Yeah. Dr. Scurvy.
Mike Cupolino says the odds of dying in a plane crash are way lower than the odds of dying while on the plane.
That's absolutely correct. Right. very astute observation from the mind of Mike Cupolino. Obviously professional comedian Mike Cupolino, big fan of the show, or big friend of the show, rather. I don't know if he likes the show. You're saying he likes the show. He's never told me.
He spent the night here last night.
You spent the night with Mike Cupolino?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
So your name just got added to a list with like three other names on it. What did Mike Cupolino have to say?
Well, he added to that the odds of dying in a plane crash with, actually the odds are exactly the same, just double the fun.
Okay, now that sounds more like Mike Cupolino.
Right, doesn't it? Wait a minute.
So Mike Cupolino is one of the great stand-up comedians working today, and he's very much like a, what's the guy's name? I want to say, I mean, this is, you know, I'm not saying he's like this. I'm saying his act is kind of, there's a very Kaufman kind of a,
yeah,
antagonism. There's an antagonism to the audience and a Kaufman-like aspect to it that is very hilarious. Beyond the fact that he has a great delivery,
he does have a great delivery.
Sounds funny. He sounds funny. So then,
which is that's important.
Well, and it's a big thing, and most, and here's what makes him great in my mind is that, like, a lot of people armed with that cadence and armed with his delivery would be very cookie cutter on stage and would tell kind of jokes that you would expect to hear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like standard jokes, and they would do very well for themselves. And Mike Coppolino, he takes this tool, which is a great tool, and he antagonizes you mentally, I think. I like his act.
Yeah, I do too. It's pretty meta because you've got to step back one step to get half of it, and then you don't get it in a way of getting it.
Not enough.
Yeah, right.
Two steps. And then shuffle to the left a little bit.
Right. And then a couple of baby steps to the other side. But, yeah.
A couple of baby steps to the right, yeah. I think anybody, obviously, you know, he puts a lot of his stuff out online. He does a lot of street comedy. I think he's into street comedy now.
Yeah. He's here in town doing that. He's been going to the Old Globe. And he, outside in front of the Old Globe, he's discovered some acoustics that carry his voice better than, you know, just in the open.
Mm.
And so he's been going to the Old Globe. The Old Globe itself is closed, of course. And
he's performing on the street outside the Globe.
Right? By the ticket booth, he
says. I performed with Mike Coppolino in a show one time. A long time ago in Barrio Logan.
Really?
And it was a place, Mike told me it was a place that didn't do stand-up comedy. They mostly did, like punk music. So it was a music venue.
Okay.
You know who else was there was, Mike. Cosmo's roommate. Mike was there also.
Oh, really?
Oh, and who else was there was, I believe Minor was there.
Minor, Mike Williams, and you, and Coppolino. Wow.
And Coppolino, and the three people on the bill for the show. The opening act was a guy who was a porno actor and also a stand-up comic. Do you know that guy? I don't know the guy's name. I can't remember.
That sounds familiar.
He's a working porno actor. He works in porn.
I think I did see this guy at the cricket shows that Mike was doing.
Okay. So that was that he opened. Okay. And he was hilarious. Okay.
Uh huh.
All right. And then I went on. And I talked about just people shitting at Home Depot, like on a Tuesday. Yeah, people didn't seem to be getting it. You know, I mean, to me, when I did it in my head or the night before, it was funnier. And then I got nervous, maybe because it was so funny and I was just waiting to laugh myself. So then I kind of rushed through it. It wasn't a good set. And then Coppolino came on and he killed it.
Yeah.
Killed it. And I remember we were smoking weed while the other guy was going in the back, Coppolino. and a couple of people.
Mike's got some time in grade now. I mean, he gets to observe, he's been able to observe audience reaction for a while now. So that schools you a bit. But I think one of the very funniest shows I ever went to, live at any rate, was one of his open mics at the Crickets.
Okay.
And it was open mic. You signed up. You went there and then signed up. There was like 30 of people that got up. Some were funny. Some weren't. It was funny when they weren't funny. And then when they were funny, it was hilarious. And then this woman got up, and she closed the whole thing down. She was the final one. She claimed to be a prostitute, and supposedly that's true. She was, and she did these crazy funny jokes about being a prostitute.
Jesus,
it was
Christ.
Insane.
All the material was there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. And her delivery was just you know, right on the timing, all of that was just, she just slew everybody and topped the show.
Yeah, now that I think about it,
true
like
headliner.
The porn actor guy talked about porn shit that happened at, you know, on porn.
Yeah. There's got to be some funny stuff that happens there.
Well, it wasn't really relatable, but then again, everybody watches porn, so then it was relatable.
Right.
You know, oh, wow, it's like I'm right there. Yeah, because you're right there.
Right.
Good times, huh?
All right, good times. I thought we were talking about the news.
Fuck the news. I'm excited you saw Coppolino. I mean, that's great.
I know.
Me too. He's in town for how long before he goes back to, he's out of Denver now, right?
Right. He says Thursday, so.
Oh, wow. Is he staying with you the whole time?
Two more days. I'm not sure. I'm honestly not sure. He, I left it open for
him. Definitely let him.
Yeah, I said,
you know,
yeah, come back.
Is go get a bone. Have him take you go get bone soup.
Bone soup.
Ask him about bone soup.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Mike is a genius at finding like the $2 meal that's available in town that's good.
Well, he brought food and cooked when he came over last night.
What did he make?
Well, okay, so, and then Joelle was here too, so French chef. So they both just went to town, just whirlwind. Stir fry, basically, is what it was.
Right.
You know, tofu, vegetables, sesame oil, you know. It's great.
Steak.
No meat.
Oh, really? You guys went vegetarian? Is Joel vegetarian?
Are you kidding? He's French. I guess French have vegetarians. What am I saying? But, yeah. No, he's not.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think Mike is either, but the meal was. But so.
Did they think you were? Or I don't know.
Well, no. Hey, that food is good. You don't have to be a vegetarian to like, you know, meatless food.
No, that's true. Tofu's actually is okay.
Yeah. The whole thing was delicious.
So life's getting back to normal. So they're going to reopen the coffee shop now and everything.
Yeah, right. The patio is open.
Okay, there you go. So it's happening. I mean, this is, you know, here's the problem. It's happening in spring break in Florida right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, so again, it's obviously it's Republican states are going to try to, you know, have us grab our ankles and give it to us, you know, on this deal.
Right.
So, you know, we may have just a little tiny hiccup, but the vaccinations are going very fast. So I think we're going to be okay.
I have the same feeling. I still can't figure out Republicans.
Are you watching Fox at all?
Just briefly, but yeah, a little bit.
It's like it's nonstop. The house is on fire. Everybody.
Yeah.
It's so stressful. It's so fucking stressful. It reminds me of CNN during the pandemic.
Well, have they gotten off of Dr. Seuss yet?
Basically, the networks switched. I watched this happen in real time as the election came to an end, okay? They switched. CNN and NBC were, up until the fucking day of the vote, it was the end of the world with the pandemic. Follow me?
Right.
The end of the fucking world, super stressful, super hard to watch. Fox was the opposite, okay? Right after the election, they just switched. Now CNN, MSNBC, all that is everything's very calm, everything's rosy, everything's great. Fox is losing their minds. At some point, are we going to catch on to this? That this is what's happening. Will we catch on, or are we doomed?
It kind of depends on, you know. Well, the people, because there's a lot of people supporting Trump, and so all of the Republicans are...
If I was watching Fox, I would be very stressed out right now, all the time. I'm telling you. I understand it. You can say they're idiots, whatever. If you sat and listened to that for more than 2 hours a day, I could see it. I could see it affecting you that way. It's nonstop.
I know. I don't understand. I mean, I got a cousin posting, "I like pipelines." You know, really? No, you don't like pipelines.
The Democratic Party should show that they're smarter right at this moment and sacrifice Cuomo right now.
I think they are.
Right now. Get him out of office right now.
That's what it looks like. Doesn't it? Doesn't it look like he's... And...
The longer it takes to get him out of office, the worse it looks. It makes Democrats look like they're no different.
Who's supporting him at this point, though, among the Democrats? I don't hear anybody.
Cuomo is not going anywhere. He knows that there's a base of New Yorkers that like him and support him, and enough to keep him in office until he's forced out. He's not going anywhere. So someone's going to have to go get him out of office. It doesn't look like the Democratic Party has the cojones to do it on any level.
Well, on what level would they be able to do it? In the courts?
You need to have the leaders of the party have a private meeting with him and sit down and go, look, you're done. You're finished.
Somebody needs to have a sit down with Cuomo.
Someone needs to have a sit down with Cuomo and say, look, it's time to fall on your sword. It's over. It's over. We need to set a standard here. This is the standard we're going to hold them to now. You're doing something for the party by doing this. This isn't just you losing. You're doing this for the party. That's why you're doing this. So that we can stay above the fray.
So should they offer Cuomo some sort of quid pro quo for falling on his sword?
Give him a job at MSNBC. He'd be a great announcer. He has every bit the announcing talent that his brother has, and his brother's one of the top ones in the game.
Oh, that's right.
Have him go work for MSNBC. Let him go, put him in the, he can make a ton of money. It's fine. He'll make even more money. You know what I mean? But you can't act like there's a standard for them, but not for us. If you do that, then you're just like them. Even if you want renewable energy, you're no different. You gotta be above it. Above it means you take it on the chin. What did Gandhi show us? You know what I mean? Above it means you got to take it on the chin sometimes.
Yeah.
Even if it's horse shit, you got to show this is the deal.
And I agree with that. He has become toxic. However, compare his uncomfortable advances, making women uncomfortable who are in a subordinate position to him in the office and.
Grab him by the pussy. It doesn't matter. It's worse. He was just talking about it as a boastful brag in a private, what he thought was a private conversation. Cuomo did it.
Stormy Daniels?
Okay, I forgot about Stormy Daniels. But yeah, it's a whole other thing. But I'm not comparing Cuomo to Trump.
And then there's the rape allegation.
It doesn't matter. The standard does not apply compared to what Trump did. That is not how the standard is applied. And that's not how the standard is set. The standard is the standard. And he's not supposed to be trolling for women while he's on the job. While he's on the clock, he's supposed to be serving the constituents. That's the deal. Especially the subordinates. It'd be one thing if he was going after another governor.
Well, I'm certainly not trying to, speak in his behalf, but...
There is no speaking in his behalf. It's several women come forward.
Sure,
whether it has
sure.
legs... We can't get... I hate it because I love the man, and I love watching him speak, and I think he would have been a great president also.
He's become toxic to New York politics, that's for sure. And whether or not it's fair.
Jesus Christ.
He should do the right thing, absolutely.
Well, and that's the deal. Look, you know, Al Franken, right?
Right, and I was thinking the same thing, you know. I mean,
there was never a more exciting progressive senator speaking
yeah.
the truth, likable than Al Franken. He could have been a president, for sure.
And
I mean,
it,
you know.
It was a single photograph of him pretending to grab the breasts of a coworker when she's asleep, you know, with a goofy look on his face.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely. Yes. What a, what
so
a
there's
dumb
that.
Thing to have done. What a
well,
dumb thing.
Right, but at the same time, who's hurt?
Well,
women?
You know, I don't think... Yes.
And to what degree
yes,
can
yes.
to what degree can we express our sexuality and in what circumstances is the conversation that's being had right
is,
now.
Okay, but if I'm saying that that's what you think Al Franken was doing, expressing his sexuality. He was making a
Yeah, movie. Sure. I mean yeah, when you grab tits, that's what that is.
Okay. So okay, well, Al Franken lost his career immediately. He stepped down, and I'm saying Cuomo should follow suit.
Right? I mean, if Franken did that, and Franken did do the right thing, I hated to see him go. He was a good progressive senator. We need those, and but it was something that was hurting. It was hurting. That political side. And so he, with an abundance of caution, he stepped aside. That's certainly what Cuomo should do at this point.
Yeah, he made a decision that the party was more important than his own political career. And he moved away.
Yeah. Well, it was the same thing with Filner. Filner made women uncomfortable in his office. And he was a great progressive San Diego mayor. We finally got one in a Republican town. And it was Democrat, Donna Frye actually, that came forward and said he's got to go. And so it didn't take long.
You know, we got to look at this as a good thing. You know what I mean? This is a good thing that's happened here. Him holding himself accountable, stepping down.
Sure.
The
Me Too has needed to happen decades ago. And it's
decades
good that
and
it's happened.
Ago,
yeah, it's good
like
that
it
it's happened.
It was a natural thing to happen right after or right with the civil rights movement, actually. It seemed like it would have, and definitely when Iceland's female population went on national strike.
Oh, right.
For wages and shut the entire country down, and less than a year later, wage protection legislation was passed. That was in the 70s.
Yeah, Liz Estrada.
I would have expected it to happen then. Liz Estrada, exactly. And that's great that you brought that up. They made us read that in high school.
Is that right? Well, I didn't, but that's great that it finally got to high school level.
Well, this is in 1988, but I think the reason why we had to read it was because we had the highest pregnancy rate in the state. So they were desperate. They were desperate. You know what I mean? They were trying to figure something out.
Don't have sex. You can stop war.
But it's a powerful note. It is a very powerful notion, and I think it did solve the. I don't know if it did, but I don't remember sure. anybody getting pregnant. you know.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's Liz Estrada is about the empowerment, you know, the woman's empowerment, basically, you know.
Yeah, and probably why when I was in high school in the 60s, I didn't get it in high school. That's probably why.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I didn't learn about that
until
later.
Right, too, actually.
That I did get.
Okay, so to me, I didn't understand why. I understood why we were getting Liz Estrada. I didn't understand why we were getting Catcher in the Rye. How was that possibly going to help us?
Right.
Am I wrong?
Holden Caulfield, yeah.
Is that really what you want as a group of kids?
Well,
that sounds
it
like
got a bunch of college
chaos.
Students in the 50s, and they became teachers in the 60s, and so And that's how that happened. Portnoy's complaint we didn't get, though. We didn't get that.
We got Liz Estrada, we got Catcher in the Rye, and we got Gulag Archipelago.
Oh, really?
Right.
Yeah, I got some Russian literature. I guess it was Tolstoy.
But Solzhenitsyn, I mean, that's like one of the worst books of all time. I mean, that's like the most depressing book of all time.
Probably. Right?
You know what I mean? Like, it's horrific.
What is it with the Russians? Although...
So, basically, this was the deal. No sex, right? Lysistrata, mm-hmm. that cuts out sex. Holden Caulfield, fucking kill and fucking destroy the world, right?
Right.
And then Gulag Archipelago, which is, you're going to suffer for a long, long time. And here's what that's like. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we, you know what I mean?
Right? Did you have to read Crime and Punishment?
No, I think I did that by choice also.
It seems like it would have been right in there.
That would have been a better choice than
Gulag?
I think so. And then we also got...
Epic Levels of Despair, though.
I'll tell you another weird one we got, which was... what the fuck was the name of that? Oh, yeah. The Children's Story by James Clavell.
Ooh.
Okay.
Who yeah.
wrote Shogun, Noble House. Okay, we like James Clavell.
Yeah, what was the children's story?
The children's story was a very, like, almost like a pamphlet. It was like 30 pages long, a very short story.
Yeah.
And the story was just a 45 minutes in a classroom in the United States several days after the Russians took over the country.
Oh, wow.
And it didn't say Russians. They never said Russians specifically. It could be any force. Any occupying force.
Uh-huh.
And this class starts, okay, 8 o'clock, boom, class starts at 9 o'clock. She looks up at the clock, and then the whole story goes, and when she looks up the clock, it's like the story ends, it's like 9:37 or something, like 37 minutes has passed. And in that time, she got the kindergartners to cut the flag up, understand, you know, why their parents are being taken to re-education camps, like the whole, explain the whole thing, and they were all down with it, and it all totally made sense to them, and it took 37 minutes for her to do it. It's the creepiest story ever, and why did they make us read that? You know what I mean? What the fuck was that? What was that?
Was your teacher a Republican?
No, that the school decides what. Oh, that's a good. I don't think so.
Well,
he's
right.
He's the one that said that orgasms are like sneezes. Do you understand that? Does that make sense to you? Like,
no, it doesn't. Not yet. Well, a sneeze does feel kind of good.
That was his point, that an orgasm is comparable in pleasure to a good sneeze.
Well, I don't think I can back him up on that one.
Yeah, it didn't make sense to me either at the time. And I understood. I guess sneezing is... I guess
it's nice, but it's over in a second.
Well, yeah, but sometimes you get like three or four sneezes in a row, and you can really, really savor them, and you can expect them and savor them. And, I mean, I get that it's pleasurable.
Yeah, I can't relate it to that, though.
I don't know. He seemed pretty convinced of it.
Well, I don't think I want his sex life.
I was reporting for the school. I haven't said the teacher's name, have I? Okay, good. So I was reporting. I'm not going to tell the story. Actually, never mind. It's fine. It's funny. I wish I could tell you. I'll tell you after the show.
Really? Okay. You don't want to publish it, huh?
I don't know. It's fine. Whatever. Nah. <that's> fine. Good times, huh? All right, cool. Good times.
I guess. I don't know.
But what years were you in high school? Like, what were the 4 years?
63 to 60. I graduated in 66.
So that was Dazed and Confused. That was like the baddest shit of all time. Shit ton of drugs, all kind of shit happening.
No, I mean, I didn't do drugs in high school. I mean, really, the drugs in high school don't really start until 67. I knew a kid who smoked marijuana. I mean, I heard that he did. I didn't actually, you know, see him do it. I heard it, you know,
yeah,
so.
It was about it. Yeah, it was the
70s. So it's a little bit, you know, that's a 70s. Dazed and Confused is 70s.
Oh, and by the way, the one kid that I knew smoked weed in high school is definitely, like, the coolest person that came out of our high school.
Yeah, right?
So, like,
so is this guy.
Close. Not even
he
close.
Was a musician. He was a musician. He drove a Morgan sport car.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That I got to drive a couple of times.
Huh.
Yeah. He was the cool. He was definitely cool.
So local artist Morgan Miller III turning out some unbelievable artwork.
Right? Unbelievable.
On that. He really is, has hit a stride now for like probably a year and a half, I would say.
Yeah.
He's been really, really cranking.
The year 2020 has definitely been grist for his mill.
Well, he put out a couple of editions. Long form editions with a lot of artwork in it.
His third edition is almost done. In fact, it's at the printer now.
And I've been seeing some of that promotion on Facebook, I think, a little of it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
He doesn't post all of the illustrations, but some of them. It's just teasers. And it is just the teasers.
So I think I have edition two.
Do you? Yeah, I've got both of them.
Well,
and promise the third. I get a free one because he's I edit them. I didn't know about him.
I didn't know you had anything to do with it. Are you trying to get in on his thing now?
I'm not trying to get in. All I do is correct the typos. You know, that's all I'm doing. I did a little bit rewriting, but no, the illustrations of the things, the little blurbs, you know, next to the illustrations, that's a mere nothing. It's the illustrations that really pack the wall up.
Okay, so I guess that's the end of the show. So good morning.
Good morning.
I guess what have we learned today?
Good morning.
Check out my copy, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Spelled like its own.
Uh-huh.
He's selling
some clever little joke books for, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He prints his own comic material.
And you can buy them for $3 a piece.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's an interesting piece of memorabilia to a very good stand-up comic, interesting comic.
They look tiny, but they're hours of fun. I mean, he hand letters them, so you can't figure out where the joke begins and where it ends. It's some effort, and it's hilarious.
They're exactly his stand-up,
right?
Which is crazy,
right?
which is like an inside joke, but it's really something. So definitely pick up the comic books and definitely check him out. Morgan Miller III. I think it's MorganMillerIII.com. Check that out.
Yeah, and
if you can get your hands on the new edition, you're lucky because they sell out very quickly.
Yeah,
within days, and then they're gone. And I don't understand why he does that. It's not good for business, but whatever. So,
well, the first one he printed 40. Then he did a second edition, another 40. Then the second one he did 60, and he sells out all of them, and they're rising in price too. So there's that.
So anyway, check those two out, and then also write if you own a mortuary or know someone that owns a mortuary that's looking for an entry level.
You decided that was probably not where you were going to go.
Well, I've had one of my unexpected changes of heart. So please, if you own a mortuary or know someone who owns a mortuary, write in. You're looking for an entry-level sales position. Obviously, you know, come in with some baggage. Talk about that. But I'm ready to learn, and I see the need for the process. So. Okay. Info at all you, what is it? Info at all you, what is it? All you fascists, no, all you fascists at gmail.com. Is that right?
And, you know, don't forget our Facebook page. We do have a Facebook page, and you can message us there as well. So there's that. It's
yeah,
all you fascists at, on Facebook.
Yeah, and wouldn't you love to be one of the first few people to like that page? Okay, this is a ground floor opportunity. So, get in. Anyway.
Be the first on your block.
Be the first on your block, city, borough, hemispheric, grid square. Reverend, thank you so much.
And Man Cake, thank you.
We're going to switch the nickname, but I do appreciate
that. Right. I know. I can't remember.
Back on that.
Okay, so Mandrake.
Somebody wrote in, but it's good.
Are you back to R. David?
No, I'm R. David, but I'm very sensitive, so I kind of ruined it for me. So. I do not take criticism well. So,
all right.
Yeah. Anyway, have a great. Thank you for listening, all you fascists. Wonderful, whatever.
See you next time.
Hello, do you hear your food rations?